Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
And they that carried us away captive required of us a song, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. They mocked us. Boy, I feel the power of God right now. They said, you're so happy, sing us one of those happy songs that you sang back in Jerusalem, back in Judea. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. They were mocking them. All the while, they were watching the Babylonians take their little infant babies and crush their heads up against the wall, slaughtering and raping them and demeaning them and tearing them down. And they said, hey, sing us one of the songs. And they said, how can we sing a song? My God, how can we sing a song? How can we sing there's power in the blood? How can we sing glory to his name? How can we sing, a mighty fortress is our God? How can we sing these songs while we're in captivity? And they said, I'm paraphrasing, we don't have a choice. For if we forget Jerusalem, if we forget where we're going back to, let our tongue cleave to the roof of our mouth. My dear friends, God is requiring of the church, preach, Pastor, God is requiring of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to keep singing your song while you're in captivity. It won't be long before the Lord carries us out of here to a heavenly Jerusalem. Can you imagine? I mean, it's very obvious that the Jews might have thought, is God through with us? Apparently, I mean, we're getting slaughtered over here. How can we sing a song over here? Is it all over? My friends, we can understand Bible prophecy and what God's plan is. First of all, never forget this, because this is part of the revision of the Word of God to try to make Israel the church and the church Israel, and to say that God is through with the Jewish people. I want you to know, God, it will never be through with the Jewish people. Currently, they're in a whole pattern with their eyes that have been blinded. But ladies and gentlemen, here's coming a day when he's going to deal with them again. And you need to understand, it's then that the Bible says that all of Israel shall be saved. Yes. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you tonight? These are not just speculations. This is written right out of the Word of God from the book of Daniel. Not only that, but Jesus himself says we can understand Bible prophecy, because Jesus in Matthew 24:15 said, if you want to understand Bible prophecy, I'm paraphrasing, then pay attention to Daniel. Yes. Now, how many of you know if Jesus said it?
Right.
Come on, somebody. So look in verse 29 through 35 right here, and the Bible says that Daniel begins to reveal then the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream foreshadowing the coming kingdoms of the earth. Why is this so important? I'm about to show you. Stay with me. The dream that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed in those few verses, and you can read it for yourself, is from man's perspective. The advancements, the achievements of mankind. Look at me, how great I am. Nebuchadnezzar was all about himself. So if you find yourself all about you, if every conversation is about you, if when you get in a company of friends and you begin to talk and every bit of it circles back to your experiences and what you're doing and what you're going through, then, my dear friends, that spirit of self has taken hold of you. Come on, somebody. Because that's exactly what was displayed in this dream and coming from man's perspective. Now, Daniel describes this dream, and in this dream, there is a gigantic statue. The statue is described as gigantic by interpretation, but it's also described as grotesque. So it is 90 feet tall, glistening in gold in the middle of the plains of Shinar, as we talked to you about last week. So look at this. This is the same location of the Tower of Babel. Are y'all with me? Come on now. It's the same location of the Tower of Babel. Back up. It's the same location that scholars say that the bones of the victims of the flood came washing down into the plains of Shinar. So this is the place where it began, and this is the place where it's going to end. Babylon remains and will come back into power, but you're seeing what was going on then during Daniel's time. So if we're seeing that happen from Daniel's time, reading it from the Old Testament and understanding it happened like that, understand that is the type and shadow and symbolism of what is going to happen in the future as Babylon comes back from the dead. Everything turns back to man and not to God. Write this down. The dream is the witnessing of the transfer of power from the Jews to the Gentiles. So there is a time period that takes place in history and in biblical theology called the times of the Gentiles. Understand this, that the statue, let me back up here, I think I got ahead. The dream is a witness of transfer. The statue symbolizes five major kingdoms. Well, let me, there it is right there. So the time period in the Bible, prophecy calls the times of the Gentiles. You got that right there?
Yes.
All right, so get this. That the statue, this statue that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about, and the statue was of himself. So he had the builders make it into this gigantic, towering edifice of grotesque worship, idol worship. Pastor, I would never bow down to that. Well, let me just tell you, and we'll study this in the subsequent chapter, that the pressure was so applied, and it will be applied in the days that are ahead. And if you're not careful, there is more than the physical bowing of a knee. There is the bowing of the spirit, the bowing of the heart, the bowing of the mind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So this statue symbolizes the five major, and I insert major here, kingdoms that would rule over the world. It's not the only kingdoms that would be in the world, but these would be the five major world empires that would come. So let's take a journey on this here tonight. And I brought out old Nebuchadnezzar, my statue illustration, to show you. I don't have him painted up for that, but you can see that on the wall that's behind me. Here's what it says. Let's break this down. This is Bible prophecy, and how can I know that God is going to keep his word into the future? How can I know that he said he's going to come again, he's going to come again? How can I know the Antichrist is going to rise? How can I know all that that's in the future? Because of what God has done and said in the past. So with 100% accuracy, God reveals through the prophet Daniel the interpretation of an evil king. Did you hear this? God uses the believer to interpret the unbeliever's dream. So the first kingdom is the kingdom of Babylon, represented by King Nebuchadnezzar, represented by the head of gold. Daniel starts telling him, Nebuchadnezzar, you are that head of gold. Everything in the kingdom of Babylon was gold, physically. 70 years, and you read that in the Word of God. In fact, we'll see this as we study subsequent chapters, that Daniel, while he's reading the Word of God in the scrolls of old, discovers that the captivity ends at the 70-year mark, and they start celebrating it in year 68 because they know the captivity, based on God's Word, is going to come to an end. So you see the Babylonian kingdom reigning in terror and absolute control for 70 years. That is represented by the head of gold. Second, the second kingdom is King Darius and King Cyrus, a split kingdom represented by the chest and arms of silver, the Medes and the Persians. The Medes and the Persians. Some people have described recent activity as King Cyrus. This is the time, if you remember, we studied the book of Nehemiah. This is the time that King Cyrus allows Nehemiah and Zerubbabel and others to start going back to rebuild Jerusalem in small little groups. He shows favor to them. But the law of the Medes and Persians is the thing you want to get a hold of. They came into Babylon. Here's Nebuchadnezzar, that's so powerful, a world kingdom and world empire, thinking in his arrogance that he is not going to be able to be taken by the Medes and Persians. And they come in and sweep the Babylonian kingdom right out. And the rule of law comes into power. You've heard it phrases used before, the law of the Medes and Persians. What's that all about? Through bureaucracy in the reigning power of the Medes and the Persians, they rule with a stiff arm of law. In other words, whatever law they put on the books, regardless of what it was, that's the way it was. Now, why is that so important? I'm going to skip ahead to Daniel a few chapters, because it is King Darius who is bamboozled by his leaders, by his Senate, by his authority. And they say, King, put your signature on this, because today we're going to declare that nobody gets to pray except to you. And we're going to outlaw prayer. We're going to say there's a pandemic worldwide and nobody gets to pray. You're looking at Bible prophecy from a bird's eye view. It's represented by the chest of silver, the two arms of power. That's the Medes and the Persians. Here's the next one. The third kingdom is Alexander the Great. It's represented by the loins of brass. Alexander the Great, the Grecian leader, powerful leader. He was noted for the speed. He is the original blitzkrieg. Hitler took some of his ideology and military plans from Alexander the Great, because he was known with great speed, the blitzkrieg, to sweep the known world. And here's the thing. You and I read the Bible in the Old Testament Aramaic, Hebrew, and the New Testament Greek. And where did that come in? Right here in the Grecian Empire. So he changed the known world into Grecian language and Grecian culture. But at the age of 33, Alexander the Great had no more kingdoms, no more land to conquer. And he died in Babylon. And according to the word of God, and we'll see this in Daniel in a few weeks, this is historical fact and a biblical fact, prophesied by Daniel before it ever came to pass, that this man, Alexander the Great, represented by a leopard, the speed of a leopard, would divide his kingdom up among his four generals. You'll see the four-headed leopard in the book of Daniel prophesied before Alexander the Great ever come on the scene. Daniel will tell that story. So Alexander the Great, let me just tell you real quick, when he went into Jerusalem and conquered Jerusalem, he was met by the high priest of Israel. That high priest described him and his techniques of Alexander the Great from the book of Daniel, started talking to him about the book of Daniel. And then Alexander said, I'm not going to destroy the temple. Instead, he went into worship and actually spread the Greek language and the New Testament in Greek along the entirety of the world to be read. I'm going to tell you, God had that planned all along. Here's the question of all questions. Where are we now? Where are we now in this entire layout? Because Daniel is laying out for us the empires of the world to the very time we're living in right now. Where are we? Well, here's where we are. We're on the verge of the rising of what is referred to in Bible prophecy as the revived Roman Empire. The revived Roman Empire is this, is that out of that old Roman Empire will come the revival of the Roman Empire and its rule and its dictatorship under the Antichrist, ruled by the 10 toes of Daniel's statue in Nebuchadnezzar's dream as a 10-nation confederacy. There has already been talk of the merging of nations into this kind of a 10-nation confederacy.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you and help you in your walk with the Lord. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, paceassembly.org, and we'll be glad to get you the information. Or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and we'll be glad to correspond with you. We want to thank you for joining us each day at this same time, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, Remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.